Well, hello, 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 and welcome to Drive Through HR. That song never gets old for me, although I think today we probably would have been better served with Happy Birthday to you, Happy Birthday to you, Happy Birthday to Argus Michael, Happy Birthday to you. Happy Birthday, Michael Goldberg, and thank you for joining us today, of all days, on Drive Through HR.
I know. Well, thank you. I didn't know if you were really going to pull through on the scene, but you did promise, so that's awesome. And what a lovely voice you have.
Some days, but I do deliver on my promises. So
there you go. I appreciate it.
Never intimidated. So for anybody who doesn't know, the one, the only, at Super Recruiter on the Twitters, Michael Goldberg, why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure. So I'm Michael Goldberg. I'm the Director of Talent Acquisition for the American Heart Association. This is my third time on Drive Through HR. And actually, Nisha Raghavan, who is a part of the Drive Through HR family, is actually one of my new star recruiters on my team. And I've been in AHA for the last 2 years, got about 25 years of experience in the HR and recruiting world, probably the last 15, in the talent acquisition space, and love doing these things and sharing my knowledge with everyone that's listening on the day before Thanksgiving and other days that I talk on the show.
Well, that's a pretty stellar introduction, sir. So what are you doing for your birthday?
Excellent question. I am going to go see Spectre. I haven't seen that yet, the new 007 film, with my two boys. I am sure that my daughter and my wife will not be going. They don't like that kind of action. And then going to go out to eat and just have some fun and, celebrate the way a young man like me celebrates. Is do not much but sit around and talk to people and be a family.
I think that sounds pretty epic to me. So,
yes.
when we're inexperienced with birthdays, the ragers sound fantastic. As you get older, you recognize the cost for those ragers and those epic birthday parties. It's really high.
Yes, it is. I didn't have one last year. I won't tell you what milestone I hit, but you know, just keep it that to yourself. Didn't have a big birthday party, didn't take a big trip, and I think low-key birthdays are, it's just another day. So,
well, it's not just another day because I did sing to you, so that's different. But
true.
That being said, if you are joining us again, we are talking with Michael Goldberg on Drive Through HR, the internet's number one HR talk show, coming to you daily from 12 to 12:30. I am Crystal Miller, and I am your guest host. And today, we're going to talk about some of the experiences you've had around diversity and recruiting, right? Diversity hiring?
I believe that is what we're going to talk about, yes.
That's
and
awesome.
So, just talking about some of the highs and some of the lows. And, it can't be built overnight. And a lot of people think that they can say, oh, let's do a diversity recruiting program. Oh, let's do this and do that. And it doesn't work that way, Crystal. And hopefully our listeners know from experience that does hold true.
So why do you think they believe it's so simple to set something like that up? Why do you think that misconception may exist in the marketplace?
So my thought is a lot of the thought comes from, some comes from the top, some from HR leadership that says, just go out and create a diversity program. And what the people that are providing those directives don't see is that it's really about relationship building and the company's involvement with the community on not so much on a daily basis, but on a, whether they do United Way or Heart Walk, or they're giving back through Habitat or Humanity or some type of give back to the community, that takes time and planning, and it's not just something that can be thrown together and you create a LinkedIn group for, I'll just use African-American fundraisers or Hispanic fundraisers and say, oh, well, let's just put that together and they'll just come. And through your wisdom and your education to me, Crystal, I mean, it just doesn't work that way. You've got to engage them and you've got to build the long-standing relationships. So kind of a long-ended answer, but that's why I feel people don't get it.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, I think it's really easy to, when you talk about the art of failure, it's part of the show's theme, right? I think it's really easy to think the hiring initiative is as simple as, finding minority ethnicities on stock photos and putting out there that you welcome all races, religions, and creeds, and that's just not enough. That's not really anything, actually.
No, it's true. The other thought is that, you know, diversity actually has varied meanings, right? And, you know, one of the things that I focus is you can focus on diverse ethnic groups. You can focus on individuals with disabilities, LGBT, veterans, spouses of veterans. But to me, the way you sum up diversity really focuses in on that every person, no matter their background, brings something to the table in terms of creative ideas and around diversity of thought, education, background. And they bring that to the table every day, and or as much as possible or practical, and they share those ideas, and that's to me what true diversity is, especially in recruiting, is you're bringing so many smart people together in different opportunities. And I'm sure you've heard the term diversity intelligence, cultural intelligence, that companies are now starting to focus on, as we are here at the American Heart Association. But I look at the oversensing. Everybody brings something unique to the table, and it's being open and sharing of ideas, no matter what background you're from.
Okay, I love that you just said that, because from a failure perspective, and then we'll kind of pivot into some of these success stories. I think the biggest failure that we can make is to make this push around calling a diversity hiring initiative diversity hiring initiative. Because frankly, the last thing a candidate wants to be thought of is as diversity. Like, we're all diverse. You should have a diverse makeup of employees and diversity of thought and experience. And that's what helps your company succeed. But I don't want to be labeled a diversity candidate just because I'm a chick. And I have to imagine that that's not something that's specific to just me. In fact, research says it's not. So, while diversity hiring programs are important and we need to do them, how do we label them in a way that's palatable to candidates?
That's a great question. And I think it's a very, it's interesting. I was talking with a group of people as we were kind of trying to say, how do we engage diverse talent, especially on our career site? And I was sitting, every single person was a diverse person. And I go, let's look at the table here, right? I've got a gentleman from New Zealand. I've got an African-American woman. And the gentleman from New Zealand is of Aborigine descent. And then an Asian woman. And we're talking, and we just said, we can't label, you can't call it out. If you call it out, then you're just saying, well, you as a company, we only want X or we only want Y. And so back to your question, philosophically, I don't know if I have that answer. I think if, again, you go back to what I said around, really pushing, are you diverse in thought? Are you diverse in bringing new ideas to the table? These are the people that we're looking for, no matter what sex you are, diverse ethnic group, et cetera. But I don't know that I have that be-all, end-all answer. And I don't know if how I answered it is the right answer either. I mean, I think you have to look at the company's culture.
Yeah, I don't know that there is a right answer yet, right? Like, so I think that's something that we're working on and we're tackling, but there's that recognition of when you label someone, oh, you're diverse, your diversity. Well, okay, first of all, we should all be diverse. But secondly, that label, not to put too fine a point on it, but I think the label in and of itself can minimize and trivialize what that employee brings to the table. Because to some extent, what you're saying is, you're being considered because of a hiring push that we're having. Maybe you would have been considered anyway, but because we have this diversity hiring initiative, like, you get some extra consideration. So what does that say? I mean, we're not really saying that, but aren't we kind of? I mean, isn't that there a little
yes.
bit when we talk about our diversity hiring program?
Right, and for all the HR professionals out there, let's put on the HR hat for a minute. You know, that could be seen as discriminatory in practice because you then are training your hiring managers or your managers day to day to hire people from similar backgrounds, and you know whether again applying across the board, and that can get you into trouble more than
you know,
help you. So I think.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was finished with my thought.
Oh, well, I'm glad I could cut you off then. So I think that, I mean, one of the ways that we need to look at this is rather than creating diversity programs, creating inclusive hiring programs that celebrate diversity of thoughts, diversity backgrounds, diversity initiatives, right? So we shouldn't be striving to be diversity employers. We should be striving to be inclusive employers. Right, I would think. But
you're spot on. Because one, so let me, if I'm sorry to interrupt. So I'll interrupt you. So at heart, one of the things that we did, we have a chief diversity officer. We hired a multicultural marketing manager who is unbelievable. Or not, he's a diversity manager, but he does diversity for the business as well as partners with me on how do we bring inclusion into our hiring practices. And he does a great job of interviewing, you know, people from all backgrounds, all religions, like, you know, when Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I'm Jewish, so that comes out. He talked to several of the employee, Jewish employees, and got their take on what it means and what you how you talk to people. You don't wish people to say, have a good Yom Kippur because you're atoning for your sins. There's nothing good
right.
about that. So you say have a safe and healthy fast. And
right.
so it went out nationwide on different practices and traditions during the high holidays of the Jewish faith. And the same for Diwali and the same, he'll do the same for Hanukkah and Canadian Thanksgiving, even though we don't really have too many Canadian employees. But, you know, he pushes out that inclusiveness so that people are educated. We've taken started creating an inclusive programs in our learning management system that, you know, talks about different backgrounds and how to create inclusive environments. And everyone in the company is required to go out there and really participate in the course and really understand how to be better and more inclusive manager out there,
well,
which is great.
Helpful, right? Like, I think it's a really good stride, and it's a stride certainly that a lot of organizations don't make, so kudos to the AHA for that. But I think if we're going to look at adding a diversity hiring initiative or a diversity hiring program that's going to be effective, whether you want to label that diversity or inclusiveness or whatever the monikers that you use for it, you have to first understand why it's important to begin with. And I think it goes beyond affirmative action into things that we've probably hit on in terms of, you know, that diversity of thought and that diversity of experiences, it builds a richer, more well-rounded business, right? So if everyone looks the same and has the same experience and goes to the same school, like, there's a lack of, I don't want to say innovation because it's overused, but that's probably right. There's a lack of innovation. Mm-hmm. There's a lack of diversity of thought that can ultimately affect the products and services that you're taking to market. So, I mean, if that's the purpose of a diversity program, what are some tools that people can utilize within their recruiting programs to help build one, to help find those people that can add that to their employment tapestry?
No, absolutely. And there's a lot of different tools that we're starting to explore. We definitely have our microsites that we've created for individuals with disabilities, diversity candidates, veterans. So through direct employers, and which is now in partnership with the SHRM National Solutions, to put together microsites that drive candidates to our marketplace for all types of positions. So driving, which and as you are well aware, but maybe our listeners are not, but drive the SEO on Google, and we have seen some pretty incredible statistics. So before we implemented these microsites, you know, we had about 6,700 applies and 24 hires up through January 2014. But from February 2014 to the present, we've had over 73,000 visits to our sites with over 14,000 applies and 45 hires. And so that speaks
volumes. Sorry to interrupt you. For those of us that are math challenged, percentage-wise, like, what's the percentage gain there? Do you know?
Yeah. No. I'm not math challenged either. I mean, I could do the math while we're talking, but if I'm going from 6,700 to 14,000, if I'm going from 6,700 to 14,000, what is that? 25%, 23%? Any number of applies. We didn't measure visits. We couldn't measure visits.
Oh, I thought you were measuring visits. So that's just your applications. That's awesome. So how many of those were qualified?
We saw probably about a 35% qualified, and then we had 45 hires out of that with the microsites.
So that's awesome. So for anyone wondering about the power of a microsite, a well-designed microsite can absolutely drive traffic. So that Q of A, it's the quality of applicant metric, right, which is still a little fuzzy, I think, in our industry. That's a really interesting metric to me. I wonder, do you track quality of diversified applicant? Like, is that a metric that's worth tracking?
Absolutely it is. I mean, especially we are a federal contractor. We have a group that does the CPR and education and first aid classes to the federal government. So we do and are required. Right now the big focus is really looking at what percentage of our applicant pool is at the manager level. And just so for everybody who knows that, when you look at nonprofit and diverse candidates, there's not a huge pool of diverse candidates in the technical terms of diversity in the way we all generally think about diversity. So there are groups that do well, like our National Center, which is our corporate headquarters, our Western States affiliate, and our Southwest affiliate. But when you get to the Great Rivers, so you're talking about Pennsylvania, Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, the diversity numbers are poor, and we'll talk about some of the things that we're doing here to get that rolling. And then when you look at founders, which is Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, we're struggling. And interestingly enough, we're struggling a little bit in our Midwest affiliates, which are areas like Chicago and St. Louis. It's just that those people aren't in nonprofit, nor have they decided to go into nonprofit or haven't considered it. And so what we're doing about those problem areas is we're starting to get our management more involved, and we're one of the lucky companies or organizations. And people think of nonprofit as a big fundraising arm, but American Heart Association actually operates like a for-profit company. We have a number of departments around advocacy, emergency cardiovascular care. But what it really comes down to is we have a group called Multicultural Markets. And so we have asked our executive vice presidents and the fundraising leadership to go out and get out into the community at these multicultural events, have a jobs table, have educational sessions with different with the different multicultural groups out there, with veteran groups, with individuals with disability groups out there, female groups. Of course, we're 80% female. In fact, if you look at our executive board, I didn't mention that stat, but it's pretty much all women. And so we don't have a problem with that. in women leadership positions, but when it comes to diversity, you know, ethnic groups, vets, et cetera, that's where the issues are. So we're encouraging our managers, our leadership, to get out. You can't just sit behind a desk and preach diversity. You've got to get out into the community and show the community, especially from that top-down approach, that we're in this to bring candidates to us, as it relates to, just as much as it relates to the importance of elongating their lives through cardiovascular, free of cardiovascular disease and stroke, it's about bringing them into the fold around, here's some opportunities, and because we take all walks of life in our fundraising groups. They come from varied backgrounds. So we've started that push. We're also going to work through our volunteers. I think we could do a better job of getting with our diverse volunteers, saying, all right, what can we do to work on this? I know you help us to focus on raising money, but can you also help us connect us with diversity and create educational sessions so that we can get diverse candidates into our candidate pool? And then finally, sorry, I'm going long here, but we have, in 6 months, we're starting up a sales training program. Once we get into our sales training program or have that created, one of the things the AHA has done that I've, you know, when you say choose your battles, it's a battle that I like to fight, because we need to focus on the entry-level fundraisers with diverse universities and colleges and bring them in that way and grow them into the leaders of the future. And a lot of people say, well, I need leaders now. Okay, well, that's good, but that's a short-term approach to it. Take a little bit of suffering to get to, you know, 3 or 4 years down the road. If you've trained them right and groomed them right and they stay with the organization and they see this as a great place to work, they could eventually grow into leadership roles with the organization. I'm done. Hopefully I haven't lured everybody to sleep.
No, you haven't at all. That's a lot to, I mean, it's a lot of great information. It's a lot to digest. So how have you touched on this a little bit, but as you've done this in your own company, as you're working on doing this in your own company, what are some of the pitfalls that you found along the way, things that people should be looking out for?
I think the key thing for the key things to watch out for is that if you don't have, and everybody knows this, but if you don't have the executive support, you're not going to go very far. If you're not in the communities like we are, you're not going to go very far. So some of the things that we stumbled along the way is we did the opposite of what I said you shouldn't be doing at the beginning of our broadcast, which is don't say we have a diversity program and to start posting on diverse sites. You're wasting money by going out and posting on all kinds of diversity sites. That just doesn't do it. Creating LinkedIn groups that say, I'm hiring, fill in the blank race for X positions. Those are some of the things that we did along the way. And that came, for my management, I'm like, that's not going to work. We've got to take a different approach. And so we've come up with ways where I've done more research and in talking with our chief development officer and talking with our diversity manager on ways we need to tackle this from their experiences. So, one of the things that we've been talking about doing for, and you know this personally, just because you and I have been talking about this for the last year, was setting up a showcase page on LinkedIn for fundraising. Well, instead of just doing it for African-American fundraisers or Hispanic fundraisers, why not create the showcase page for fundraisers in general, post articles out there about diversity, get diverse candidates interested in our programs or our opportunities, and go that route. So we're in the midst of debating whether or not we even want to go that route. And so because we feel like we could do a paid campaign and a paid reach out versus doing the showcase pages. And yes, that's more money in LinkedIn's pocket, but it might be a faster way to reach more broader population, get them to join maybe you know, follow the American Heart Association page again, keeping it very open to all diverse groups instead of calling it out.
I think that's very interesting. Where do you go next? How do you build upon what you're already doing in your program?
How do you what?
How do you build upon what you're already doing in your program?
Sure. So one of the things some of the things that we're working on is creating diverse candidate pipelines by working through the multicultural. So once we connect with our multicultural market volunteers, we're going to be given introductions. The recruiters are in that area and across the United States on what we can do to build a diverse pipeline of candidates. We're going to be creating diverse employee or affinity groups at AHA starting next year. What's that?
Let's pause there for a second. Affinity groups. Define that.
So affinity groups are basically groups of people, and again, this is, you know, it's debatable whether or not these do work. It's one of the things that our diversity manager is working on. People of the same groups. So if you wanted to start a veterans affinity group, all the veterans for AHA would be a part of that, would meet whether it's once a month, once a quarter, every other month, to discuss issues, you know, in the veteran community and how we can recruit more veterans for AHA, or what kind of outside events could they participate in to create awareness and helping veterans find jobs. For African-American or Hispanic affinity groups, similarly related to where you're getting those specific ethnic groups together, they're talking about issues in cardiovascular health. I mean, it's not a time to get together and have a bitch session. It's you're talking about positive and moving forward, and how do we attract more diverse volunteers? Do we have enough diverse volunteers? Do we have enough diverse donors? What can we do to get out into the community to educate those? That's what I mean by diverse or affinity groups.
Okay, that's awesome. So we've got about 3 minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure that you get the opportunity to tell people, one, what's going on in your world, how they can get a hold of you, and where they can check out your work.
Sure. So they can check out my work. So at Super Recruiter is the name. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on LinkedIn. It'll be Michael Goldberg, the Dallas Michael Goldberg, I think, is the LinkedIn URL. Actually, I am writing a paper for Lars Schmidt's HROS group. And it's actually on this topic, and I'm working to format it in his way, and look for that to come out in January or February. Anytime you want to connect with me, michael.goldberg with an E at heart.org, feel free to reach out to me or give me a call at 214-706-1262, and I'll be glad to share anything you want. To anything you need or have questions on, happy to share any of information that I have.
That's fantastic. Well, sir, on that note, we are going to respect the fact that it is a very happy birthday for you and you've got other things to do. Thank you so much for joining us. For everybody listening, we will not have a show tomorrow because it is Thanksgiving and we want you to be stuffing your face full of fabulous food with your friends and loved ones. If you don't have a place to go, check out online. There's a lot of different churches, organizations, and schools that are opening their doors tomorrow to just be with people who don't necessarily have a family. So if that's you, there are places to go. In DFW, look at the Village. And I hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving. We will be back again next week. Thank you so much. Be safe.
Thanks, Christy.
Thanks for coming on, Michael.
Bye-bye.